Hello, and welcome to this podcast episode from Bethel Church. Today's message from Pastor Kyle is all about love. Have you ever considered that the story of Christmas is a love story? Stay tuned as Pastor Kyle tells us more.
Today's scripture is found in Luke chapter 2. And if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn to that portion of the Scriptures. While you're doing that, let me ask you this. How many times have you heard this? Mom or Dad, can I have this? Or can I do this? Or will you do this for me? I'd like to say that it happens a lot when they're more like this age, but you know, we also see a lot of it in our adult children as well, right? You know, but they tend to get way more expensive when they're adults. And have you ever noticed that there's typically some kind of good behavior that comes along with it? You know, like, you know, I cleaned the house. Can I use the car this weekend? Or I mowed the grass. Will you take me to fill in the blank? And as parents, let's face it, you know, their behavior and our relationship with them sometimes hinges on whether or not we're going to help them or we're going to say no. I mean, if they're a monster or some kind of creature with a bad attitude, it's easy to say no. But, you know, deep down, we usually want to help our children. And that's just the way we're programmed. You know, sometimes we give and we give until it hurts. And as parents, we want the best for our sons and daughters, and we do that because we love them. And love is our theme for the fourth Sunday of Advent. And our passage today begins in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. This is a photograph of the region outside of the area we're talking about, of Bethlehem. This is like where the shepherds would have been out grazing their sheep. And you can see there's grass and there's various different, you know, rock formations and everything. And in the first century, being a shepherd was not the most esteemed role to have in society. Yet the scriptures frequently repeat themes that are associated with the shepherds throughout it. You know, Abel was a shepherd. Abraham, Jacob, Israel, Moses, and David, they were all shepherds. And Jesus referred to him as the good shepherd. And he even instructed Peter to take care of his sheep. Notably, most shepherds weren't rich. They weren't invited to fancy, you know, dinners or feasts, and they weren't usually of noble class. They were just everyday folk, just like us. They spent their days and sometimes their nights out, you know, with the sheep, and their job was out there to protect the flock and to keep the predators away. Sometimes they would gather herds together, and so the sheep might intermix, you know, with other flocks, but when it was time to move on, all the shepherd had to do was call out with his voice, and the sheep would recognize it, and the sheep would follow their shepherd. So having them intermix, you know, like in the situation here, was really not a problem. If it was cold, the sheep may take refuge like in a cave or maybe in a pen together where the body heat from the sheep would help keep everybody warm that night. But on other nights, they would stay in the pasture and graze if it was a nice night out. And so it appears that this night they were out grazing, so the weather must have been pretty good for them. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The word angel is literally translated as messenger. And have you ever noticed that every time an angel comes to speak to a man or a woman, their first words tend to be, "Do not be afraid." So there's something about this when they suddenly appear that it makes everybody, you know, normally fearful. In the scriptures, angels were used to warn of danger, to guard from evil, guide and protect, nourish, instruct, and even announce good news. Today's passage is the pronouncement of good news of great joy. And all of Israel had been waiting for a Savior. You know, the Savior was known as the Messiah. Or, you know, that's the Jewish name, but the Greek name for that was the Christ. So, you see, Christ is not Jesus' last name, it's just his title. You know, so Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. And the angels were announcing to the shepherds, one of the lowest working classes in the society, the birth of the Messiah, the one who would save them. And he was nearby. The city of David, which was the city of Bethlehem, the shepherds would have been out in the nearby pasture, you know, to that town. The angel continues and says, "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." So to further the point of what the angel was saying, he was telling the shepherds there's going to be specific evidence to look for, a sign in identifying that newly born Messiah. You see, there was a census, and they had to register for a census at this time. And so many people had come into Bethlehem if that was their ancestral home. And this was the Roman census. Well, Joseph was a descendant of David, and David was from Bethlehem, so therefore Joseph had to go to Bethlehem in order to register for the census. So Joseph naturally brought along his new bride, Mary. And the shepherds were told they could find the Savior, the Christ, in Bethlehem. And with all these people in town, a newborn in a manger, which is essentially a feeding trough, right? A newborn in a manger would be distinct. You know, it would be a distinct feature about this particular child. And the angels were glorifying God for what he was doing and bringing peace through his son into the world. So the shepherds then went to a particular place. They went to a place where Mary and Joseph were. And they went there. Now, it didn't look like that when they were there. But this is the Church of the Nativity. It was built on what they believed to be where the place that Jesus was born. So it's a lot fancier today than it was way back 2,000 years ago, but that's the vicinity that they were told to go and look at. And all this talk at Christmas, you know, we talk about these various things, you know, about Jesus being born a man. You know, the king of the cosmos, the creator of creation, became a man. And I mentioned a few weeks ago to the children that about Andy Stanley once said, there have been thousands of babies who became kings, but only one king who became a baby. God relinquished his goodness to live a life with us. You know, it's sometimes we don't understand the magnitude of this event. You know, the one who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, he gave up that power and knowledge and became a member of his creation. This means that Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. That means he was vulnerable to sickness, disease, hunger, a skinned knee, and even the evil of a jealous ruler. Jesus relinquishing his divine attributes to become a man is similar to one of us relinquishing our human attributes to become something on the order of like a fruit fly or an amoeba, you know, that the most simplest form on the planet. And some of us, like me, may have wondered, why would Jesus do such a thing? When we look at other passages in the Bible, we can find some clues as to what God's motivation was. One of the most famous verses that provides insight to the question is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So, God the Son loved us so much, he loved us enough to give up his throne to walk in our shoes. God the Father loved us enough to allow Jesus to take on this mission. But this isn't your typical parent taking care of their well-behaved children. You know, the ones that have cleaned the house or mowed the grass. Because we were far from well-behaved when Jesus came. We were the monsters and creatures with bad attitudes. And yet Jesus took on this mission when we humans were still against God. And yet, despite all of the awful things people do, do you notice that God makes the first move? And that seems counter to what we know, right? And you know, it's incumbent upon us when we mess up a relationship that, you know, we go and we get flowers and we go to our wives and say that we're sorry. Because let's face it, guys, you know what I'm talking about here. The wives are never the one who messes things up. It's always us. You know, so doesn't it seem right that the person who messed up the relationship should be the one to try to make it better, to try to mend it in this sense? But in our case, there's a difference. Sure, we screwed things up, but God was the one who made the first move. It's like we screwed up, and God was the one who brought us flowers. It wasn't the shepherd's love for God. It was God's love for the shepherds that started this event that we're talking about here today. Way back in the beginning, when Adam was the first to disobey God, God loved us enough to create a rescue plan. He fashioned a means to fix the relationship. And this pattern is repeated throughout the Old Testament. And in every instance, God was leading with love. In every instance, love originated with God. And the story of Christmas, then, is a love story. It's a story of how love came to live with us. There were scores, maybe as many as a few hundred families in Bethlehem that night. Probably hundreds of people. Among them were likely some wealthier farmers, some Pharisees maybe, some artisans, people of high standing in the community. But notice who received a message from God? The shepherds. Just the normal, ordinary, working folk out there, working out in the pasture at night. Everybody else is asleep, you know, in a nice, comfy area. And just with just a few exceptions, you know, I mean, even priests didn't get a message or vision of an angel. These shepherds got a special telegram full of divine wonder and with news they'd only dreamed of hearing about. And these shepherds were treated to an entire host of angels. Now, it was common knowledge among the Jews of that day that the Messiah would what the Messiah would do someday. And to hear about the news in such a supernatural means was just incredible. And although they were considered, you know, maybe the lowest roles in society, God chose them and invited them to go and see the wonder that had just been born. Throughout history and today, God takes those who feel unworthy and transforms them into people of great value. Regardless of how we feel about ourselves, we are magnificent to God, every one of us. And back to our original question, why would Jesus give up everything to be with us? It's because he loves us. He came to teach us about God, to correct misunderstandings about him and the culture of his day, and make it possible for us to join his team. He did this to restore what this world had become back into what it was supposed to be. You know, we all know the world today is broken. We can read the newspaper and we can watch the news and see all the brokenness around us. But Jesus put a plan into action that had been waiting for just the right time. And he told us ways we could help the world and the people in it along the way. But couldn't God just wave a hand and fix it arbitrarily? He could do that, but he won't, because he doesn't want to force anyone to be with him. Love can't be forced. But why would God want to become a man? Well, in Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis has a great quote. God became man to turn creatures into sons, not simply to produce better men of the old kind, but to produce a new kind of man. It's not like teaching a horse to jump better and better, but like turning a horse into a winged creature. See, love came to live with us, so through this love, we could live with him. If you're not already on God's team, he's still inviting you to join him. And joining is easy. There are no auditions. You don't have to get dressed up. God accepts you as you are. He has a special place for everyone on his team. Jesus came on a mission, and he had a primary objective, and he had secondary objectives as well. He healed people. He cast out demons. He raised people from the dead. Those were the secondary objectives. He then took upon himself all of the things that separated us from God, and he removed them. That was his primary objective. In John 15:13, Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." See, everyone on Jesus' team is his friend. Jesus' motivation was love. He gave up paradise so that one day we could come and be with us because he loves us. This love, if we let it, will transform us so we can ultimately live with him. Those barriers that kept us apart from God began to be removed one night in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And apart from Mary and Joseph, you know, the shepherds were like the first ones to know about Jesus' birth. To know that love came to live with us, so that through this love, we could live with him. I'm going to show you a video here about love and Advent.
Jesus is coming. The season of Advent is here. The season of love. It was a love that moved heaven to earth. a love that came wrapped in swaddling cloth, laid in a manger, humble and holy. May you receive a love like no other this Christmas, not earned through your deeds, but paid for and freely gifted to you. Unconditional, everlasting love. And as you look to those around you, may you see the lonely, the hurting, and the broken. And allow this gift that you have freely received to freely overflow to them. And as you share it, may you grow deeper in the knowledge and revelation of the unconditional love of the Father. For love is active. Love moves. Love gives. God is love. Be blessed with love this Advent.
If you don't know this love, or maybe you don't remember what it feels like, it's not too late. There are still positions on God's team, and He has a spot picked out for each of us. Jesus came to transform each of us into His sons and daughters. Not just a better man or woman, but a new kind of person. Doesn't matter what your role in life is like or what you've done to keep God away. He loves each of us. If you're ready to get back in the game, I invite you to pray along with me in just a moment. And at Bethel, we try to be love with skin on. We try to be the one and show God's love to others. Let's remember this while we celebrate Christmas this week. God's hoping you'll join the team today. He's already chosen you. He hopes you will choose Him back. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You for Your love. We thank Jesus for loving us and for living with us. And we thank Jesus for making it possible for us to live with You. Forgive us and take away the barriers we have placed between You and us. Make us into sons and daughters of the God who loves us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Alleluia and amen.
Well, now that you know that the Christmas story is a love story, let me give you one more thing to ponder on. Love came to live with us so we could live with Him. Have a wonderful holiday season and stay tuned for next episode.